Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Labor leaders speaking out on the bipartisan infrastructure deal, paying respect to a fallen labor hero. And today on the show, the Milwaukee Building Trades and the United Auto Workers. Welcome to the Thursday, August 12th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Dan Bukowitz. Dan is president of the Milwaukee Building and Construction Trades Council. Website is MILWBuildingTrades.org. MILWBuildingTrades.org. Dan's president of the Building Trades and Construction Council. He was elected to that position in January of 2014, and before being elected to serve the council, he's been a business rep for IBEW Local 494, and that's where he provided representation for all contracts, apprenticeships, pensions, grievances, communications with various industry and businesses all affiliated with Local 494. And before becoming a business rep, he spent 19 years at a large electrical contractor where he worked his way from an account rep to a service department manager. Interesting background. Along with his role as building trades president, he'll serve as co-chair of the Building Advantage Program, and he'll explain what that's all about on the show. And obviously, with this bipartisan infrastructure deal, we'll touch on that and the opportunities for careers in the trades. And I tell you, we can't talk enough about that. So many guests have come on the show saying, Come on, get into the trades. Great wages, great benefits, pensions, and there is a need for workers. So Dan's going to be our first guest. Desiree Hoffman, who's a legislative rep for the United Auto Workers, will be our second guest. She, too, will talk about the infrastructure package and the reconciliation package and what's needed in the Build Back Better agenda that Mr. Biden is pushing as president of the United States. And the auto workers on the forefront here of lobbying members of Congress on that and more. The PRO Act, I'm sure we'll touch on that as well. Got a comment here from Ray Curry. Ray is the new president of the UAW. He took over at the beginning of July. And this was his statement on the Senate passage this week of that bill. Every day, UAW members, our friends, neighbors, and communities confront firsthand the sad reality that the infrastructure in the United States desperately needs to be modernized. UAW members make products that are impacted by the current state of our roads, bridges, internet capacity, and electrical grid reliability. With the passage of that bill, the Biden administration and the U.S. Senate came together to fix the core needs every American relies on to live, work, and succeed in the future. So that's Ray Curry, president of the UAW, on the infrastructure bill. We've got some other comments here. I'm going to run them down briefly, starting off with Sean McGarvey. Sean is president of the National Association of Building Trades, better known as NABTU. And he said NABTU commends lawmakers and the administration for coming together to craft the legislation to address our nation's infrastructure needs. This robust package will strengthen neglected communities, create millions of American jobs, and reestablish America's standing among global competitors. While we recognize that this compromise product is not perfect, we gratefully acknowledge that those who work tirelessly to bring to this point need to be commended. NABTU and its affiliated unions will remain engaged throughout the amendment process to address outstanding concerns as we work to strengthen the bill for final passage and eventual signature by the president. McGarvey goes on to say, on this bill and beyond, we will continue our advocacy for investments in critical infrastructure like schools, hospitals, affordable housing that will not only strengthen our economy, but also support hardworking American families. Terry O'Sullivan, general president of LIUNA, presenting sponsor of this radio show and podcast. This is what he said. We applaud the U.S. Senate for their bold, historic action in passing legislation modeled on the bipartisan infrastructure framework. The legislation reflects what would be one of the most significant and largest investments ever in our infrastructure by addressing critical transportation, water, energy, and broadband needs. The legislation would create hundreds of thousands of good family-supporting construction careers, help restore our nation's infrastructure in global greatness, and build a lasting legacy for generations to come. Terry O'Sullivan goes on to say, for far too long, we have starved our country of the infrastructure investment the American people want, need, and deserve. We must seize this opportunity. It's time to get the job done so that LIUNA members who are ready, willing, and able can get to work now building America and securing our future. We urge the U.S. House to avoid delays, pass the Senate bill, and send it to Biden's desk. That might be a bit difficult because of this reconciliation package that the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, wants to work on, and that's the legislation that would add up to $3.5 trillion, $3.5 trillion. And there's a lot of people very, very nervous about spending that amount of money. It's needed. Don't get me wrong. Well, you go back to the American Society for Civil Engineers, and they said years ago that in order to upgrade our infrastructure, we have to invest about $4 trillion. And that's kind of where we are right now when you add all these bills up. Got another comment here. This is from Tom Conway, who heads the United Steelworkers. He issued the following statement. The USW commends the bipartisan work of the U.S. Senate in passing a badly needed infrastructure bill. Our infrastructure is long past due for significant upgrades, and this bill is an important step toward both making our communities more secure and creating millions of good family-sustaining jobs. As this bill moves to the U.S. House, we cannot let the momentum falter. We urge Congress to continue working together in overhauling both our physical and social infrastructure until they finally meet our modern needs. And yesterday I was talking about the importance for the steelworkers and all of us that the products used in rebuilding our infrastructure are made in the USA. Come on. There's a lot of products that are made here. Don't go to China to get that steel. Boy, steelworkers have many, many stories about that. It was a week ago today we lost a hero, a legend, a fighter. I'm talking about Rich Trumka. It was 1 week ago that we all got the news that he passed away from a massive heart attack. He was with his family. He was on a family vacation in the South. And the AFL-CIO, I urge you to go to the AFL-CIO website, AFLCIO.org, and you will see on the homepage a picture of Rich. If you click on it, there's a series of tributes and videos going back years. And what I want to do right now is play a clip from Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown. He was pretty rattled, like so many on the Senate floor, when they got the news that Rich Trumka passed away. Let's listen here on the show.
I call him a friend because my wife Connie and I, who is in the gallery with our grandson Clayton, my wife Connie and I walked picket lines with Rich Trumka, done rallies with Rich Trumka, spoken on behalf of workers with Rich Trumka. He was a son of our part of the country, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio. Coal miner, not just the son of a coal miner. I believe he told me once the grandson of a coal miner, but he was a coal miner early in life. He embodied the soul of the labor movement. He understood workers. He was for them and of them in ways that are unusual in America in the 21st century. He understood and lived and fought for the dignity of work, the idea that hard work should pay off for everyone. He understood what a woman from southern West Virginia said to me some weeks ago at a dignity of work hearing in the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee that I chair. She said the words working and poor should not be in the same sentence. Think about that. The words working and poor should not be in the same sentence. Rich Trumka understood the dignity of work was if you work hard, whether you punch a clock or swipe a badge or work for a salary or work for tips or take care of children or grandchildren or our children or grandparents, that hard work should be rewarded, that no one that works hard should not have a decent standard of living. Few in this country have done more for workers than Rich. Giving workers a voice has been his life's work from his days in the mines when he was an outspoken advocate for trade unionism. He understood it was the unions, that carrying a union card was about empowering workers. If you join a union, you make better wages, you get better benefits, you get health insurance, you have more power over your schedule. You have a safety net often when tragedy strikes. Rich understood that. He understood that unions help build careers and provide for families. Our hearts are with Barbara, his wife, and their son, with all the workers around the country. And I can't even imagine how many workers Rich Trumka touched. I looked at the impact of just the work he did with me, let alone with so many in this body, the work he did fighting for pensions, and with his support leading the charge, really, a million families in the United States, more than a million families, had their pensions restored back in March when we passed the American Rescue Plan. And he understood the importance of the Child Tax Credit. He understood the importance of the Affordable Care Act. He understood the importance of the Protecting the Right to Organize, which 47 Senate Democrats are co-sponsors of. He knew that he was even yesterday on a call with workers in Alabama helping to encourage them to organize. He knew that his job as a labor leader was to represent the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of members and their families, but to always try to recruit new people to join the labor movement. And he knew that it was an uphill fight because of the way that the system is rigged towards corporations and towards employers. He would say, if he were here, he would say how important it is to carry on with or without him, carry on his life's work by standing in solidarity with all the men and women of the labor movement who built the strongest middle class the world has ever seen. We see that middle class shrinking day by day, slowly shrinking. And the reason is because we see the number of union members shrinking. And he knew the way to turn that around was Protecting the Right to Organize Act. He knew the way to turn that around was to get more people organized, more people, give them the option. Half of America would like to join a union, surveys say, at least half, if they had the opportunity. Most don't because of the outmoded, outdated, rigged against them labor laws in this country. But Rich understood that. He understood people staying in the middle class. The union card helped people joining the middle class, expanding the middle class. And I also, one other point, Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, I thought of what Rich Trumka did. One of the things I've worked most of my career on is fair trade policy. I voted against every single trade agreement that came in front of me until 2 years ago. And that's because Rich Trumka played a major role in changing NAFTA, changing the United States, USMCA, United States, Mexico, Canada agreement, and put in language that Senator Wyden and I worked on that will put workers at the center. And Mr. President, the way that Rich Trumka understood government is if you put workers at the center of our policy, workers at the center of our trade policy, workers at the center of our tax policy, workers at the center of everything we do here. Call it the dignity of work, call it putting workers at the center. If you do that, everything right will flow from there. We'll have a more just society, we'll have a more prosperous society, we'll have more opportunity for our children. That's what Rich Trumka was, that's what he stood for, that's what he was all about. That's the fight, Mr. President, that we need to carry on his behalf. In his memory. Thank you.
Very distinctive voice. I tell you, Sherrod Brown, I love that guy. He's also a regular visitor here on America's Workforce. That's him on the Senate floor just a week ago today when he got the news that Rich Trumka passed away. I want to go back to that AFL-CIO homepage. If you go there, there's a lot of good tributes. Elizabeth Warren is on there. There's a lot of statements from labor leaders. And you should know that this Saturday, August 14th between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Trumka's family is giving the public the opportunity to pay their respects to him. And it's going to be at 815 Black Lives Matter Plaza, which is right down the street from the White House. All safety protocols will be strictly enforced, including mask requirements and social distancing. And it's my understanding there will be a large public memorial at a later date. This is all posted on that AFL-CIO page. So again, that's this Saturday, August 14th, between 10 and 3. Trumka will essentially lie in state in the area that he worked, the House of Labor, the AFL-CIO headquarters in Washington, D.C. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Milwaukee Building Trades.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, celebrating 50 years, started in Cleveland, Ohio in 1971. You can find more at ulagency.org. And they got all kind of job fairs going on throughout the year, virtual job fairs. And they've been attracting a lot of good people, and they're connecting good people with good jobs. That's what it's all about. Let's go to line number one right now and welcome, and I hope I pronounce this, I was a little bit off, Dan Bukavich, who is president of the Milwaukee Building and Construction Trades Council. Did I get that right?
You nailed it. You got it exactly right.
Okay, great. Thanks for joining us here on the show today. Well, talk to me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're president. How I was reading your bio earlier. So you've been president for, seven going on 8 years. Talk to me about your background here, Dan.
I started out like everybody does in the trades. I applied for my registered apprenticeship with IBEW, Local 494 here in Milwaukee. I was awarded an apprenticeship. I served my apprenticeship, became a journeyman electrician, started working through the ranks, became a foreman, project manager, department manager, and then at one point my union asked me to step up and become a union representative. And then I worked for IBEW 494 here in Milwaukee, and I would attend my local building trades meetings, and as my predecessor was ready to retire, many of the trades around the table thought I'd be a good fit. And I decided to run for the position, and I've been proudly representing the men and women working here in Milwaukee ever since. Pretty simple story, but it all started because of apprenticeship. Nothing's possible in my life without my IBEW apprenticeship.
And I'll tell you, it's so important we get that message out to people listening to this show. And I'm just hearing more and more young folks are getting interested in apprenticeship programs. We had the cement masons on just yesterday, and this was out of Minneapolis, and they're filled up over there. I think they have 100 apprenticeships going on right now, and 10% of them are women. Let's start right there. How are your programs doing there in Milwaukee?
Our programs are robust. Just like everybody in the country, we're seeing a lot of the baby boomers starting to retire. These spots are opening up. Supply and demand is there. And we have an administration that actually wants to invest in America in infrastructure, which is great news for the trades. And we're going to be rebuilding roads, bridges, waterways, sewers, you name it. Going forward, modernizing schools. This is going to be a great opportunity for young people to get family-sustaining careers in the trades. And like everybody in the country, we are looking for people. And our programs are earn and learn. There is no cost to them for you as you go through apprenticeship. So if college is not your thing, the trades is an excellent alternative.
And unfortunately, a lot of young people don't realize college is not their thing until they're done with college and they can't find a job. That's the sad part about it. Are you seeing people that went to college come into the trades as a result?
Very much, very much. I had a young man call me about 2-3 years ago. Actually, he was going for his undergraduate in marketing, and he was hoping to get married, and he really was kind of spinning his wheels. He wasn't having a job that would support a wife, more or less a family. And he really wanted to become a tile setter, and hooked him up with the local tile setters, and he's in his third year of apprenticeship here, and he's just doing great, and he's since been married, and you know, he completely changed his dynamic and his thought, and there's nothing wrong with having that level of education in the trade. We need that as well, but he always says to me, he goes, boy, I wish I would have started this earlier. And the earlier you start, the better off you are.
You got to take that guy and market him, you know, to like certain high schools, because you know the high schools are still pushing college. You know that, and
I always joke. I spend more time in high school now than probably when I was actually in high school, talking to the kids. But you're absolutely correct, and we got to get that message to the parents. And as we have our career fairs, and we do a summer academy where the kids can come into our training centers and do hands-on, we get that message to them. And I tell the kids, have that conversation with your parent. Every parent wants their child to be a doctor and a lawyer and, you know, president and everything else that goes with it. But the fact of the matter is, not everybody's cut out for that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell the boys and girls I talk to in school, have that conversation with your parent. You deep down know if you don't have the discipline to do 4 to 5 years worth of college.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, I want to share with you a story. When I decided to go into radio, my parents said essentially the same thing. You're crazy. You'll never last in radio. Why don't you go? And I was studying engineering at the time. I switched my major from engineering to communication. And then I got involved in the campus radio station, and that was it right there. I got the radio bug in me. But you got to go into law, got to be a doctor. You're not going to make it in radio. People that are in radio have short careers. Well, that was 48 years ago.
Yeah, time goes quickly. And again, you know, the trades are still offering pensions, which, you know, over the past few decades, everybody said, oh, you know, pensions aren't sustainable, this and that.
Yeah.
The model's proven and it works if people don't mess with them. But if they allow us to do what we do, it's self-sustaining because the younger generation puts in, the older generation's paying for the training. Our funds are well managed and well done, and more people should know about those, you know, defined contributions versus defined benefit programs. And again, that defined benefit program will always outperform over time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to be pretty happy with the American Rescue Plan, how they pretty much satisfied the need to fix the pensions for the multi-employer plans. That was good news, huh?
that is great news. And like I say, these programs work. And more importantly, I don't think people realize this, but they take that pension money and they reinvest in America in investment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Minnesota's done really great with the HIT and BIT funds, the Housing Investment Trust funds and the Building Investment Trust funds. And here in Milwaukee, we've been successful. And our largest project going on right now, $180 million tower, is financed by $105 million worth of pension money.
Wow.
And that's truly important because Milwaukee's going through a revitalization. They call it the Renaissance of downtown Milwaukee. And of course, we did the Fiserv Arena where the Bucks won the championship. But this building boom continues to go on, and these investment trusts also put money into infrastructure. So we're talking trains and ports and airports. And really, local governments need to take a look at this, as well as state and federal governments, and really partner with trades and harness the billions of dollars that are in these funds.
So just to go back on that, it was a $180 million project, and you said 105 came from...
Of it is union pension money.
Union pension money. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. So as a result, that's 100% union labor, project labor agreement on that too, I take
it? Yep. Project labor agreement on that, 100% union labor. This is going to provide opportunities for unemployed people to start pathways and apprenticeship and get those family-supporting careers. And that's hugely important. That is hugely important. Not to mention the men and women that will also help construct this tower will also be putting more money into the pension and into training programs. And again, as you go through union training programs, you lessen the burden on taxpayers for tech colleges and things of that nature because the money's not needed there because we pay for it during the training.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that out. Let me ask you this. I see a lot of construction happening when it comes to building, office buildings and things of that nature. And you know right now, well, the housing market itself has been on fire. It's pulled back just a tad. But here's the problem. A lot of the houses that are being built today are big, very, very unaffordable houses to most people. And we're seeing that happen all around. I'm sure the situation is like that in Milwaukee. Do you see I'm wondering if there could be a time that, like, maybe some of that pension money, the Housing Investment Trust money, can go into more affordable housing for so many people? What is that happening at all in your area?
You know, it is in multifamily and HUD-backed housing, workforce development housing. Single-family housing, we still have to get that model. And the costs have risen so exponentially. Really, material costs are there.
Sure.
And the other thing, it's the cost of land and development of the land, getting the infrastructure in. So if you take an empty farm field and you say, I want to put up a subdivision of 80 homes, by the time the roads, streetlights, power, sewer, water, curb, gutter go in, the costs for lots start to escalate, and it's tough for developers to do that. We need to find that money. Maybe it's federally because local governments can't afford to support the development of that to get that housing there. And you are correct. You know, a lot of the homes are $400,000 and up, and the per se starter home has disappeared, which has fueled the resale market on
sure.
homes. But that is one market that I think really should be looked at because what you essentially do is you create these neighborhoods and you stabilize communities.
Absolutely.
So you very much need that. And again, not to say, you know, we always say don't start at null. We'll take a look at everything. And if we can figure out the equation to make that work, we'd be happy to be the first one to try it here in Milwaukee if it works.
There you go. Yeah. Well, there's certainly a need out there. No doubt about that. Dan, I got to take a quick break here. Dan Bukavich, who is head president of the Milwaukee Building Trades, website is www, we all know that, MILWBuildingTrades.org. MILWBuildingTrades.org. Desiree Hoffman will be joining us later in the show on behalf of the United Auto Workers. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get a minute, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. 5-star ratings are always appreciated. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Mr. Dan Bukavich. Dan is president of the Milwaukee Building and Construction Trades Council. Dan, I forgot to ask you, how big is the council? And maybe you could run down some of the big unions involved. But altogether, how many people do you represent?
The Milwaukee Area Council is made up of 18 different crafts represented by 16 different unions. So, you know, we have UPAT, LIUNA, IBEW, operating engineers, bricklayer cement masons, elevator constructors, just to name a few, sheet metal. You know, I'm going to leave somebody out and I'll hear about it. But we're all there. Everybody that's affiliated at North American Building Trades level is with us. In the Milwaukee area, we represent over 12,000 hardworking men and women in the unions. Statewide, we're over 40,000 here in the state of Wisconsin.
Good, good, good. How is the political climate there? You had that crazy governor, Scott Walker, for what was it, 8 years, and now you got a union guy there. But I know it's been crazy. They turned that state to right to work. They attacked collective bargaining on the public sector. Just wondering how things have shaped up now.
You're correct. I mean, they threw everything at us but the kitchen sink, and unfortunately, a lot of dark money came in here, and really, we were the science experiment for the nation to see if they could break unions, because many union ideas and firsts came out of the state of Wisconsin. Things are getting better. They can always be better. They repealed prevailing wage and, of course, right to work, took workers' rights away. It's been a tough ride, but you know what? The unions aren't going anywhere. They've ebbed and flowed over the years, but the message to the next few generations is you're better together than alone. And I think they're learning that here. And I think the pandemic has really put that in perspective. Union workers here, construction, were dubbed essential. So we fared pretty well, all in all, knock on wood, during the pandemic. But again, we put protocols in place. We're proactive. What's offered to members is just not offered in the public sector. And when we get in front of people and we tell them what's going on, they can't believe it. And, you know, they're always like, I don't get this. I don't get this. We're like, well, it's easy to get. Just join a union.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's double time, time and a half, sick day of bereavement pay, paternity leave, all those things count, and the unions offer them.
Are they accepting the vaccine? You know what's going on in America. It's pretty much the pandemic of the unvaccinated right now. And I'm just wondering, what's the status among the trades over there in the Milwaukee area on that?
You know, we took an aggressive approach to it. Of course, we wanted to continue our work here. As I said, Milwaukee's in a boom. So we started out early on education. We offered COVID training classes as well as ICRA training that went hand in hand with it. We're also encouraging all our members to get vaccinated. So many of our locals are holding pop-up clinics at their union meetings to vaccinate as many members as they can. We don't have an official number within the trades, but the state itself is probably hovering with everybody fully vaccinated just at about the 50% mark. And a single dose varies by age, but I think it's safe to say we're about 65%, 70%.
Good, 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 good. Let's get back to the apprenticeship programs. And you were mentioning in the first segment that there's a lot of good opportunities for young people. My question to you, is it across the board? I mean, you rattle off a couple of unions that make up the Milwaukee Building and Construction Trades Council, but what are you hearing? Is there a demand more in one than the other, or what? What's your take on that?
Big demand, particularly in some of the trowel trades. Cement masons, concrete, plastering, tile, roofing's a big one right now. They, at least here in the Milwaukee area, they're a mature bunch, and they'll be retiring quite a bit, same with elevators. So they have to restock those pipelines and shelves. And more importantly, you got to get through the apprenticeship and get the appropriate training so you can become that foreman or project manager of the future. So those trades are in high demand right now. Anybody connected to infrastructure, water, sewer, roads, just ain't finding enough.
Yeah, yeah. And when you say they're in high demand now. Now, if you're going through the apprenticeship program, you're looking at 4 years down the road. Is it still projected to be in high demand after they get out?
Yes, just really based on our average age over the years with Milwaukee, you know, pre our renaissance, work was pretty flatlined for a while. I mean, we knew what was coming and we weren't putting on excessive numbers. So we are going to have that large drop off where our age started to escalate. The average age of an apprentice started to creep up around 28, and probably our average working age was 48 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where in 10 years, all these people are going to take their union pensions and go, and we're going to have to fill those spots. More or less, new technology and everything else that's going to be needed, charging stations as things progress and we modernize, all that's going to be need to be done, and we're going to need people to do it.
Yeah. And a big sell on the trades, these are jobs that aren't going to China or Vietnam or India. I mean, you learn a craft that you will have until the day you die. And that, I'll tell you, that message needs to get out there. It is getting out there. One more question here. Your outreach. Yeah. I brought this up earlier about reaching out to women, people of color. And I notice it's starting to pick up, and there's opportunity. This is the pathway to the middle class. You think about that. How's that panning out for you in the Milwaukee area, Dan?
Well, very good. But, you know, we've wholeheartedly helped put together and support programs such as the Residential Preference Program, which is done in the city of Milwaukee, which gets unemployed and unemployed residents of the city. And as you know, Milwaukee has a very high unemployment rate among African Americans. Actually, African American males were highest in the nation. So when we put together a project labor agreement, we specify that 40% of the people partaking on that job will be from the residence preference program, which really opens those opportunities for minorities to take part in these jobs and find pathways into apprenticeship. At the building trades, we also started a female group called Empower Her, and it's strictly females in the trades. Everything from, and it ain't just the trades, but it's project managers and you name it. Females make up 50% of our population, but it's not represented that way in the building trades, and we're trying to change that and make the numbers better. We also will go as far, when we built Fiserv, and we're very proud of this, we will put in percentages of minority participation businesses. We will put in the number of percentages of apprentices, Milwaukee area residents, and we will define how many veterans and women will partake in a job too. So we're doing everything we can to broaden these opportunities for those that need them most.
I'll tell you, all good stuff happening in the Milwaukee area, and much of it due to the Milwaukee Building and Construction Trades Council. Dan, you're a great guest. I learned a lot. It sounds like you're serving your members well. Let's stay in touch over the years, okay?
Appreciate you having me. And again, stay safe and prosper.
I hear you, buddy. And the website is MILWBuildingTrades.org. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Desiree Hoffman on behalf of the United Auto Workers.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two right now. And welcome back, Desiree Hoffman. Desiree is a legislative rep with the UAW. UAW.org is her website. And if you go to that website, you can see all the cars that are made by UAW members. The only problem is many of the cars don't have chips, the semiconductor chips. I have one of my family members is waiting for one, and I guess they're sending some of them out with they're kind of scaled down right now. But that's the world we're living in, not post-pandemic. We're still in the pandemic. Hey, Desiree, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us once again.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I know you want to get into the reconciliation package and obviously moving forward with the Build Back Better agenda, but it was a week ago today that Rich Trumka, leader of the AFL-CIO, president since 2009, passed away. And you were telling me off the air here that when you were an intern that he spent a lot of time with you? Talk to me about that, Desiree.
Right. So one of my first jobs in the labor movement was at the AFL-CIO. And I worked in the Voice at Work campaign when we were trying to pass the Employee Free Choice Act. And actually, Representative Levin, who wasn't a member of Congress back then, was my boss. And they sent me to Pennsylvania, where I'm originally from, working class Pennsylvania, for 2 months to work on the labor-to-labor program. And when I was there, President Trumka, at the time he wasn't president of the AFL, came to visit, of course, because he is from Pennsylvania and he's a coal miner. And I had a chance to just talk with him pretty frequently when he came to visit. He was an upstanding guy. You know, he's very personable. He was very personable and, you know, really just was interested in talking politics and legislation. And he's just one of those guys that you just want to get to know. And he was great to have on your side.
You're not kidding. And tireless, I might add, Desiree. The day before he died, he left his family vacation. He went on vacation earlier in the week last week. And he went to a picket line for the Warrior Met coal miners who've been on strike since the beginning of April. But that just shows you his dedication to labor. Amazing guy. And again, this is an opportunity to drive people to the AFL-CIO website. If you go to the national website, there's so many great tributes. We played a little snippet of Sherrod Brown earlier. Elizabeth Warren is there. But yeah, he touched so many lives. So many lives.
He really did. And, you know, I just hope everyone just really remembers what a powerhouse he truly was, and especially for working families. And it just ran in his blood, like you said. But he will be missed.
In his memory, we have to move on. And hopefully when we get the PRO Act, maybe you could put his name on it. And infrastructure, there's a lot of good pieces of legislation that are happening right now in the halls of Congress. We got the infrastructure, the bipartisan deal. That's got to go to the House. Any comments on that? And I know you want to talk about this reconciliation package that's all tied into what's going on. Go ahead.
Right. So, you know, for a while there was the bipartisan infrastructure deal, and now it is the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And it did pass in the Senate. You know, it provides historic new investments and funding for infrastructure. We all know that our nation's infrastructure is crumbling, and we need a robust investment to fix our roads, bridges, highways, airports, waterways, broadband. And this bill makes those historic investments. And, you know, it still needs to pass the House, but it did pass the Senate. And, you know, one of the things that people frequently forget is, you know, our members build the equipment so people can fix those roads and bridges and highways. And so we are really pleased to see what happened with the bipartisan infrastructure bill. And we will continue pushing for it when the House votes for it here, hopefully very soon. They're going to come back. The House is on recess right now. They're going to come back, I believe, in a couple weeks to vote on the reconciliation package. But they'll still need to vote on this one as well.
Now let's get into the reconciliation package. That's a big piece of legislation, $3.5 trillion, very comprehensive, and it's part of Biden's Build Back Better agenda. Now the Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that she'll work on that bipartisan deal only if they can advance the reconciliation package. Is that accurate? Let's start there, and maybe you can get into some of the detail on that reconciliation package.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate because, you know, a lot of the House progressives are saying basically, you know, a lot of our key priorities, especially around the human infrastructure needs that are going to be in the reconciliation package, they want to see that passed. But they want assurances that, you know, that the infrastructure package will pass, and then that they have assurances that their agenda and the reconciliation package will move as well. Some of the key things in there that the UAW has been pushing, and I know a lot of the Democrats in the House have as well, is, you know, the healthcare pieces that are in there. You know that, you know, driving down the cost of prescription drugs is a huge priority for the UAW, retirees, and their families. It is something that will benefit families across the board, whether you're in Medicare or private plans. And so the reconciliation package is expected to cover like five key health policies, from expanding Medicare dental, vision, and hearing to, you know, expanding the ACA subsidies, and also lowering the Medicare age is something on the table. But that's getting a lot of industry pushback, so we have an uphill battle on that.
What do they want to lower Medicare to? Do you have any idea?
I think it's going to be 60. I think that's what's in that's being floated around right now.
Yeah, yeah. And you're saying they're already getting pushback on that?
Yeah, so the industry groups actually are aiming a lot of the House frontline members, members of Congress who are in tough races, with ads everywhere basically saying Speaker Pelosi wants to pass a bill that has all these tax hikes and includes a socialist health care plan. So they're getting hit pretty hard already. This is like the second wave of ads. But a lot of these members really see beyond that because health care is one of the key issues that they ran on, and that's right. What their constituents really want.
Now, taxes. It's my understanding they're going back to, what is it, nobody sees a tax increase until, was it $400,000 a year? Is that still pretty much intact?
No, I don't. Well, there's a lot of question around what's going to remain intact. As you may know, with the infrastructure package, a lot of things that were on the table went away. So, like, even the IRS enforcement stuff went away in that negotiation, which I thought was pretty vanilla, but that went away. There's going to be using unused COVID funds for the infrastructure package and a couple other areas. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if some of these other pay-fors in the new reconciliation package will be there, including, you know, increasing the corporate tax rate and making sure that corporations pay their fair share of taxes. Also, we want to make sure that there's a way to make sure that, you know, penalizing them for offshoring American jobs. We want to make sure that there's no tax increases on Americans making under $400K, like you said. So we have a lot of work to do in this area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a tug of war going on right now. To your point on the IRS, you know, that one is interesting to delve into. I'm going to have to get the Treasury Employers Union on that, because there's been a number of reports saying that $1 trillion a year is not being collected in taxes.
Right.
And you know, those are all the people at the top of the pay scale. You know that, right?
Yep, absolutely. I personally, on a personal note, I don't get it. I feel like that is an area that should be bipartisan. I believe it was at first, and then it just slowly unraveled.
Yeah, $1 trillion a year. You think about how much infrastructure. I mean, the bipartisan infrastructure deal, isn't that $1 trillion right there? So they can basically fund that if they just collect the taxes on the people that owe the money right there.
That's right. And, you know, there's one thing I did forget to mention that's a huge priority of the UAW that we're pushing. It's new terrain for us. But as you know, what we're trying to get you know, electric vehicles and combating climate change is a huge priority. And, you know, one of the things that's happening is that China is outpacing the United States in the production of electric vehicles. And so we want to make sure that any consumer rebates for electric vehicles are tied to good paying union auto jobs made domestically. And so Senator Stabenow had an amendment that we really would like to see happen, called the Made in America provision, which passed in the Clean for America Act. So it would continue that $7,500 consumer credit for EVs, but make sure that, you know, in 5 years, they would get a $2,500 bonus for autos assembled in the U.S. and another $2,500 for meeting worker-focused labor standards. So that $12,500 rebate would apply as a rebate on tax returns. So basically, we're just making sure that those rebates include, you know, for autos made here in the U.S. and they're made by union members.
You got it. Made in the U.S., made by union brothers and sisters. I love it. All right, Desiree, great job. Boy, you got a moving target here. Great job on what you did, and I'm sure we'll have more to cover next month, okay?
Absolutely. Great talking to you.
UAW.org. You could also check them out on Facebook, UAW.union. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about the abuse of warehouse workers in America and changes at the NLRB. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.